Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
With a Venmo debit card, you can Venmo more than just your friends. You can use your balance in so many ways. You can Venmo everything. Need gas? You can Venmo this. How about snacks? You can Venmo that. Your favorite band's merch? You can Venmo this. Or their next show? You can Venmo that. Visit Venmo.me/debit to learn more.
You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that.
The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Card may be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Venmo purchase restrictions apply.
It's summer. Time to enjoy long days, lazy nights, and great food. Because Uber Eats has deals all summer long. So, when hunger strikes, don't sweat it. Delicious deals are just a tap away on Uber Eats. Enjoy all your favorite grocery items delivered straight to you. Get ice cream, soda, and snacks from your favorite stores like Wegmans and CVS and make the most of every moment. Now that sounds like a good summer. Order now on Uber Eats. Terms apply. Product availability varies by region. See app for details.
Testing.
Testing. Let's get sexual.
I think I might just have to leave that in.
Check it.
What?
Check it.
Check it. Well, if it wasn't obvious by that, whatever that intro was, this is going to be a Mama Minute episode where we just talk about random stuff and not true crime. So if you are into that, then stick around. If you're not into that and you only want true crime, skip to the next one. It should be obvious. I'm trying to make it obvious to differentiate these episodes by changing the cover art of them. So hopefully that helps. But instead of like leaving a mean comment that you don't like this kind of thing, just skip past it, you know, because we've got plenty of other episodes that are true crime related. I say that because we got like one review one time that was like, I don't want all the other stuff. I only want true crime.
Giving that person too much credit. I'm Austin. I'm the co-host.
And I'm Kelly, your host. And we're married and we have a true crime podcast and we talk a lot about true crime. And a lot of you already know that because you've been here for a while. So let's just chat. Okay. We have so much to talk about. First of all, if you want to send us a topic to talk about on a Mama Minute, go to mamamystery.com, scroll down. There's a box there. Type in your message. If you leave your name, we will know who you are. If you do not leave your name, we will not know who you are. Do with that information whatever you would like. All right. So, oh, Austin, there's so much. Okay. So
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with some submissions?
Babe, I have no clue. You just run it.
Okay.
I'm here to talk.
And if you want to talk about anything, then you just tell me, okay?
Amen.
So we got a message from this person. It's an anonymous message, and it reads, daycare. Why is it so hard finding good childcare? I have so much anxiety leaving my babies because you can't trust anyone these days. As someone from a small town, I'd love to be able to use an in-home daycare provider. However, I would have to personally know someone to trust them and leave my babies with them. So we go to the childcare facility route, and then we find out that CPS is there investigating someone who is supposed to be loving and caring for two-year-olds. And administration is more worried about hiding things than fixing them. How do people find good childcare?
Man, daycare is frustrating. It's freaking expensive.
Oh my God, it's outrageous for one child, let alone if you have multiple.
It's freaking expensive. The same concerns they raise. Mm-hmm. You hear rumors, you walk in and, you know, you hear a teacher screaming at a kid, and then they turn around and see you and they're like, oh, hi, it's been a day. And it's like, oh, this is great. That's where my kid's been all day. Mm-hmm. Daycare's tough, man. I can relate to that statement.
Yeah, I can too. So we could start with like our experience, which I won't like say any names or any places like that or anything like that. But August, our son is 2.5. Our older kids are in elementary school, so, you know, we don't worry about daycare with them. But August, we had him at home for how long? Like 4 or 5 months before we finally took him into daycare. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just needing to like have some sort of purpose back. Like I just needed to go back to work
to be productive.
Yeah. So we found this daycare that we really loved. And for the first like year, at least, everything was really great. And then like some things just kind of started happening that were kind of like not cool. You know, like you said, hearing teachers screaming
like
at kids,
hearing tones and stuff, or
yeah,
hearing rumors. And then it starts being like, well, this isn't the most comforting thing to hear.
Right. Yeah. And so we had kind of some of our own issues with that. And so we ended up choosing to just keep August at home. And this just recently happened where we decided to keep Augie at home because we had Ellie and we were like, okay, do we want to shell out hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month mm-hmm. in daycare, or do we want to figure out some way to just keep them at home? And so I can totally relate to the sentiment of trying to decide what's best for your family, what you can afford, and what is just actually possible, right? Because a lot of people work these 9-to-5 jobs and can't afford to just have someone come help out here and there during the day, which is essentially what we do because we do have a girl that comes and helps. Shout out to Gracie. She is like she's like an extra Kelly to have around. It is so crazy helpful. So that is what we ended up doing was we found someone that we trust with our kids implicitly, and she comes and helps out during the day, whether I'm here or not. And it just helps out a ton to have that. And that's what we have found works for us. But I can totally relate to the struggle of like,
I'll say this.
How if do you
that,
figure it out?
If that seems like it's a viable option for you, you know, this is what it is. You know, a daycare wouldn't like to hear this, but if you could almost poach a person you like out of the daycare, you know, mm-hmm. have that person start doing some babysitting and then you like them and then you start having conversations with them and, you know, you figure out if they can implement things that you like with your kids, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And then if you get to know them and you trust them, I think it's a really good option to sort of poach a person out of a daycare that you like because it's someone that does good with kids and you know they do good with kids. You know that's what they want to do, or at least they're enjoying it. You can pay them more than what they're making. They're making more. They're happier working with just one family. They're not working alongside coworkers they don't like. And you can probably get it cheaper than what daycare would be, have a more one-on-one better situation for you and your kid. And the person that you took out of the daycare is happier than they would be, and they're making better money. So it's kind of like a win-win-win.
Mm-hmm. Especially because a lot of daycares, I want to say this before anyone is like, oh my God, you poached somebody from your daycare. Listen, it's not like that was ever the plan going into this. Like the plan truly was to keep the kids there
long-term.
And then too many things kept happening. Like, I don't know what you want to talk about.
It doesn't matter. It's just it's situations that happen that then when you do have that person that you can trust that's inside the daycare and all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, would this work out?
Mm-hmm.
I think what we did is a viable option for a lot of people. I think a lot of people don't think about it because they think, oh, I can't afford to have a nanny at home. That's what you kind of go to, right? That's mm-hmm. a rich person thing. But then it's like, well, think of what you're paying for daycare. Because
mm-hmm.
if it's $250, $500, $750 a week for one, two kids, whatever it is, you'd be surprised if your hours work out. You know, there's a lot of people that work and they get off at 2 or 3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you could have someone from 9 to 3 or something, and then it's like, okay, well, that's only 6 hours a day times 5 days a week, 30 hours a week. If I'm paying this person $15 an hour, okay, that's $450 a week. Well, shit, a lot of daycares are $450 a week anyways. And all of a sudden it's like, now your kid's at home. It's one person you trust. You can talk to that person about your ideologies and on parenting and raising a kid. And mm-hmm. I think it's a really good option that a lot of people don't consider for whatever reason.
So I think what I'm trying to think of is like what their pushback would be to that. And I think the pushback would be, or the question would be, how do you find someone like that if not going that daycare route? So if yeah. you're trying to kind of start fresh, I guess you could probably work with recommendations. So for example, Gracie, she goes to school, but it's all online. And so she's in college for early childhood education. If you could kind of put out an ad someone yes. like that, that's like, I'm looking for someone who maybe is in school, but looking for some part-time work during the day. You know, if your hours are flexible, if you can make it work, like if you work from home, that's kind of like the most yes. ideal situation because you're already there anyway. But yeah, I feel like asking for recommendations, kind of scouting out like early childhood education kind of majors.
That's a good idea. So I have a girl that works for us at Chris and Kate's, and she does a lot of babysitting, and she's an early childhood education major or whatever. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really good option. So I don't know, maybe that's a good option for somebody to consider, and maybe yeah. that's completely far-fetched and didn't help you at all, and then we just can relate to you.
Right. Well, and it's hard if you don't have family that's able to help. So like your mom is super helpful with,
yes, and awesome.
With the kids, but she also works full time. So it's not like we could have her come and do this during the day. Right. Yep. And some people have that option, like if their parents are retired, but, yeah, I don't know. I feel for you because it is really hard, but just, man, daycares are rough. It's really hard to trust taking your kid somewhere and dropping them off and not knowing what's going on. Like that, I think just is what really eats at me. So if you're able to keep them at home, even if you hire a nanny, I feel like that's the most ideal.
Yes.
All right. We're going to jump into the next reader submission. And this one is interesting. What are your thoughts on boyfriends or husbands going out after work with coworkers, two of them being female, 22 and 52, and being out for like 5+ hours just drinking and talking? Like every time is solidly 5 or more hours. I'm all for letting loose and going out, but the time just seems excessive. And for backstory, we don't live together yet, so obviously it's not like I'm waiting at home for him. I guess I'm just wondering, would it bother you? Am I being crazy and insecure about it? It's not a hill I want to die on, but every time they go out, I just get so mad, sad, overthinking, and I just hate it.
So just real quick to make sure I'm understanding correctly. Mm-hmm. It's a boyfriend going out with two females, 22 and 52?
Yes.
Just the two females, or is anybody else there?
That, I don't know. I just read you the message. That's all I know. It doesn't sound, I mean, maybe there are times when it's with other people. Maybe it's yeah. times when it's not.
And it's interesting. Just one-on-one you go first.
Oh, I'd have a fucking problem with it. Are you kidding me?
You should have seen Kelly. Hands up in the air looking at me like I just did something.
Absolutely fucking not. I beg your finest pardon. No, you're not going to go hang out with another female after work for 5 hours drinking and talking. Yeah, you think I'm an idiot? That's how I am though.
Okay. Let me know when you want my thoughts. You keep going.
No, I think I'm done. I think I've said exactly what I
need to say. Nothing else to say really. No, Kelly would not be having it.
I would not be having it, but here's the thing. When I think about it, like, okay, they're not married yet. They're not living together. So I'm trying to put myself back into our relationship in the early days because you've always been a very outgoing guy. And with your line of work, you've had to have, like friendships with females. Mm-hmm. And I didn't always like
do well with
be
them.
Cool about it. Yeah, yeah. Like I didn't always do well. That's a really nice way for you to put it. Cause I was very insecure and I can admit that I actually was just very insecure and there truly was nothing going on. And maybe there's nothing going on with this, but if you're hanging out, drinking and talking after work for 5 hours, that's excessive. There's a limit. Like there's a line.
Does it say how old they are?
It says, like how old the writer is.
The writer is.
I don't think
so. See, more details like that would be fun. It's almost like if you could put on your form, like, you know what I mean? If it said 21 female was the writer, that would be interesting.
Well, I mean, I'm going to guess that this person is young because it's just her boyfriend. They're not married yet. They're not living together. So I'm going to guess like 20s or 30s.
Yeah. So I guess, I think these are fun. Like these messages, these write-ins.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always context missing. So like, if we ever were actually sitting down with the person, maybe it would be a different conversation if we had more detail.
Yeah, because I would probably have questions.
Yeah, but to generalize. And like,
do you know these women? Do they know you? Do they have respect
right.
for you?
There's so many things that go into it, right? The last time you were at a work thing and met with these women, they were glaring at you and being bitches. Like, oh, I mm-hmm. get why you're more upset, whatever. But in general, I think that you pointed out, okay, you said you used to be insecure. You worked on a lot. Our relationship, we've both worked on things a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I don't think that I'm not a fan of like spouses or partners going out to bars with the opposite sex on a frequent basis. I just don't think that, like, I think
feel
when
like
you,
that should
if you,
go without saying, but I
if
guess.
You boil it down to that, that's like, it's probably not okay. But that's what I'm saying. There's so many asterisks.
Yeah.
And not to be an asterisk hole, but if you start putting asterisks on it, like, oh, well, they're meeting with these people because of business, because of this. But if it is purely just, oh, no, they're just going to the bar, having a good time, or, you know, throwing them back, getting wasted. Then,
yeah, they're
yeah,
just hanging out after work because they have nothing else to do. Like, no, I think that's weird.
I don't think it's conducive to a positive relationship.
For sure. And I think ultimately it's that. It's not that there's blatant disrespect happening. Mm-hmm. It's that, is this really going to lead to a positive path? Is this going to lead to something positive? Is this the kind of relationship that you want?
I think that's like what you just said, that like if you could clip that, that's like kind of with all the relationship things.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of things that come up, there's caveats, there's asterisks, but at the end of the day, if you boil the thing down, is it something that's conducive for a positive relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a one-time deal or a more seldom deal, I think that's different also than if it's like every Thursday night they're going out. You know, Thursdays, I go out with Barb and Tina. You know I do that. Okay. That's what I do. That's weird, right?
But like, yeah, I would have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I would have problems with that. And I'd have a lot of questions. And it sounds like this is a frequent thing because she says, I got to like hold my phone back because I need reading glasses apparently. What did she say? Like every time is solidly 5 or more hours. So that
it's
makes me
frequently.
Think it's happening frequently. 5 hours is very excessive. This doesn't seem like just let's just recap with one drink after work, which even then it's still kind of like, is that necessary?
Going and grab it and drink with, yeah, it's just not. But we're probably... I don't know. These conversations are funny. We're probably weird. Just like on the last episode we just recorded talking about, what was the true crime person?
Marie Carlson.
In that episode, we had this conversation about, yeah, we had this conversation about how like there's probably a lot more open relationships than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a thing. But if we're talking about just a monogamous thing here, I don't think it's probably the best thing.
Here's the thing, writer. I'm not sure what your name is. I'm just going to, for the sake of conversation, call you Marie. Okay. Marie, if you feel uneasy about it, if you have questions, or if your gut is telling you that something is off, listen to your gut, address it, bring it up, get to the root of it, because otherwise this is something that is just going to fester and it's going to, like a sore, like an open wound, you're going to end up unhappy with MRSA. And maybe even herpes, because if something bad is going on, you don't want to be getting the shit end of that stick because you stuck around and you were like, well, I'm just going to try to be the cool girl. And like, maybe nothing bad is going on and maybe it's not a hill I want to die on. But like, if it's bothering you enough to write in about it, and if it bothers you enough that, I don't know, that if it bothers you at all, you should bring it up.
I'll just say, you should bring it up, but you should bring it up respectfully.
For sure.
In a way of like, hey, let's talk about this. This whole thing where you're going out with hot Tina and Barb from The Office.
Oh, now they're hot.
That's an even bigger problem. Hey, I want to talk about it. I'm not comfortable with that. And see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Maybe he says, no shit, I had no clue. I never wanted anything to do with her. You know, she has herpes. I mean, what, you know, I don't know what, but have a respectful conversation about it. And I think that's the best way to proceed there.
Yeah, I agree. Oh,
those are the transition sounds between each one.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and transition to the next listener write-in.
Yeah, we know.
This one. Okay. So this one says, for a mom a minute, I have a few questions for Austin. Both of my boys show interest in owning their own businesses. My oldest is 17 and already has a business taking care of pets and homes when people are away. Dog walking, watering plants, flowers, etc. He is college bound and he wants to go into engineering. My 14-year-old is more interested in something in the trades, possibly. It is important to me to nourish their entrepreneurial spirits, interested in what Austin thinks is important to do to help them, and any advice he would give a parent or advice he would give to help the boys. Love you both, Jenny Cathcart.
Nice.
Love Jenny.
Jenny's awesome.
She is awesome. So I'll let you go ahead and take the wheel, babe.
That's a good one. So I love when people want to encourage that and not be like, oh, I want them to go to school. So I think that's excellent. I think first thing that comes to my mind, and this may not even be a great piece of advice, but this was literally the first thing that came to my mind, was like not shooting shit down, letting them know that things are possible. So if they say, oh, I want to do this, and it seems like some big audacious dream, then great. Be like, man, that could be really, really cool, and kind of feed that dream and then start talking about steps of how they could get there instead of being like, I don't think I'd go that route. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that one thing with that, at least I know I'm very aware of with parenting is like, and I'm not the most perfect parent ever. Okay. But one of the things I'm very aware of with parenting is I don't want to be screwing up a kid's subconscious from when they dream big. I'm like pushing it down. Like, I don't want to stifle dreams, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, which it already sounds like, I mean, knowing Jenny, she's going to encourage it. It's going to be, you know, that's already on the right track. Mm-hmm. As far as like actual advice of things, like, man, the 17-year-old that's doing that business right now, mm-hmm. I've encouraged two people I know closely to start that exact business, a dog walking, dog sitting, house sitting. And I think it's the perfect business for a teenager mm-hmm. that lives at home. So in regards to the 17-year-old, you know, I know they want to go into engineering, but I think you can almost lean into maximizing that business. Like, mm-hmm. hey, try to legitimize it into standards and processes and stuff. Like my Nate, who we've encouraged to do that same type of business, mm-hmm. I've told him before, man, go create yourself on the computer a client list and start writing them little handwritten letters a couple times a year. And after you leave their house, say, hey, thanks so much. I hope you guys had a great time. I want to do it again. And like try to grow and legitimize what you have, because that business, I think that business is a sellable business for a college student. So I think, I'm not saying they're going to make millions of dollars, but I think that if they could get a real client list and get some mailers or some letter, get it legitimized, mm-hmm. then at some point you meet another responsible kid or your friend or somebody's, you know, Jenny, you have a friend that has a son that or a daughter that could take it over. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, we have this business and we'll sell you the whole client list and he'll train you on how to do it for $5,000-$10,000. And it could be some really good seed money for college or whatever else.
That is such a good idea. I never would have thought that. So you're just so bright.
Thanks. So that's just another tactical, like right now thing with that.
Yeah.
Is just, I think there is something with that house sitting, dog sitting business that can be legitimized.
And I love that you added that personal touch. I feel like personal touches are so important, like sending holiday cards. I feel like yes. It might go overlooked, but for some people, I think they would really appreciate it, especially if it's handwritten thank yous.
Yes.
Those are so antiquated at this point that people don't typically do them. And so when you do get one, you're like, that is really sweet. Somebody 100%. Took the time to handwrite a thank you note. And I just feel like they carry more weight now than they used to because they're 100%. Just so rarely done anymore.
And when you're talking about a 17-year-old, you're also talking about building a network for this kid that when they do go to college, whether it's away from home or they come back, that kid is establishing so much respect with these other people mm-hmm. where it goes beyond just like the business because we're 17 years old. You know what I mean? So I think in regard to leaning into that business, I just think that can really be leaned into. And I think there's a lot more to glean from that too. There's stuff about customer service. You could add-ons. Hey, when I'm here doing this, do you want me to do this too? Mm-hmm. So I think, Jenny, I would do everything possible to encourage my 17-year-old in those shoes to legitimize that business as much as possible and get it to a sellable thing if possible. The 14-year-old, listen, that was me. I was not trades necessarily, but just wanting to be entrepreneurial. And I would always, you know, be talking about it. And I would watch Shark Tank with my dad and I would have conversations. And I would look back and I was blessed to have my dad and my mom cultivating that entrepreneurship and feeding that. And that's what you're doing. So I think you're already doing the right thing in that. I guess the last thing I would add is just the 14-year-old wanting to go into trades. I would start connecting them to people in trades and seeing if you can get them to shadow or go on a day with them doing electricity or whatever the trade is, you know?
Yes.
So I don't have anything probably really earth-shattering to contribute, just that I think you're doing the right thing by leaning into it and not stifling.
I think as a parent and as a mother, but as a parent in general, you always want your kids to like aim high. You want to leave them successful. Like you want them to grow to be something big and great, right? And just be happy. Mm-hmm. And so I think with the trades, one thing you could do to maybe expand on that, if they have this entrepreneurial spirit, but they are thinking about going into the trades, maybe kind of encourage them or like introduce them into the idea of contracting. Because what I see is like you could own your own business doing a trade.
100%.
You could do both.
The guy who owns, the person who has a desire to look into trades, and a lot of these kids go, well, I just don't want to go into plumbing. No, the plumbing's temporary. You're going to own your own plumbing warehouse.
Yeah.
Your own supply house.
Exactly.
Your own company.
Think
yes.
bigger. Don't just put a ceiling over yourself. Think beyond that. And there's no shame in deciding not to go to college because you want to go into the trades. Mm-hmm. You dropped out of college. So mm-hmm. we are big proponents of like college isn't everything. Of course, it's necessary for some things, but it's not like the end all be all. And you're not going to be a loser if you don't go to college. You know, I feel like that's kind of a taboo thought. And I just want to like spit that out
Squash
there.
It.
But when it comes to trades specifically, I know a lot of people who are successful, who live very comfortable, happy lives in the trades. But also, I feel like there's so much, you know, more you can do to expand that.
Yeah. I think that conversation Kelly just said about having, you know, just encouraging bigger thinking than just going to be a plumber. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but just letting them know that there is more. What was the conversation we had the other night with Jack? So Jack was talking to you. I thought this was cool, so I want to share it. Jack was talking to Kelly about police and about investigative work. And you told him,
well, I have some friends who are police officers here in town, and I reached out to one of them specifically, shout out to my girl Kylie, but I was like, hey, is there a way that I could get Jack to kind of maybe shadow or like come look at a police department and just kind of get a feel for what the reality of this kind of work would be? Like, because he was interested in detective work specifically. And she told me, which I didn't even know, that our local police department holds a summer program for kids that kind of like throw them into police work and detective work. And it's kind of like a summer program for them to learn about it. I had no idea, but there's also, I mean, you could even just call, I'm sure, a police department or like ask a friend of a friend. You could throw a Facebook post up there that's like asking for recommendations, but ways to get your kids tangible experience in a field that they're even a little bit interested in, just so that they can kind of get a feel for it and feel it out. If they're interested, let's expand on it. If they're not, well, at least we tried
least
and you saw what it was like.
It. But one thing Kelly said on that conversation with Jack ends up asking, what do you go to college for if you want to be an investigator? And Kelly said all this stuff. So Jack's wheels were turning. He had this good conversation with her. Then he came to me later, and we didn't know this till we talked. And he was like, what colleges specifically do this and that with investigative and blah, blah, blah. And I was talking, and not even knowing Kelly had a conversation with him, I was giving him another point of view. I said, dude, you could own your own investigation company. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's called a PI, a private investigator. You know, whether somebody owes you money or somebody's doing something bad and you're hired to go spy on them, or whether a husband's cheating or a husband or spouse or wife is cheating on a spouse, you know, a PI could be hired. And he was like, no way. So you could have your own business. So it's cool because we're just giving them all the avenues. And knowing Jenny, that's what you're doing. But I think anybody listening, I just think just trying to feed kids curiosity and encourage them to think bigger. Like anytime any conversation of an occupation comes up with the kids, not that there's anything wrong with working for somebody at all. I just love business. So my gut and my intuition, what I go to is always like, I try to spin it into how you could own your own business in that field when I'm talking to the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you want to be in charge of your own stuff. And some people do better under someone else's guidance. Right. So like some people don't want all the hassle that comes with owning your own business, and that's totally fine
100%
too.
100% don't blame you at all.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think as a mom, you're already doing the right thing by just even asking, being interested in what your kids are wanting to do, showing interest in that, and showing interest enough to even reach out to a podcast. So kudos to you, Jenny.
Love I think you. Your 17-year-old can legitimize that business and sell it for $8,000 to little Tommy down the street, and he introduces him to all the families and helps him over the course of a summer, and they split the money in some capacity, and your 17-year-old ends up cashing out $8,000 and sells his first business. I think that's a legitimate thing that could happen.
I actually do too. And I know there might be some people listening that scoff at that, and
I scoff all you want. It's real shit.
Scoff all you want. Wow. While Jenny's son laughs his way with $8,000 to the bank.
Yep.
Next. Okay. So I want to end this episode with something that I think is freaking hilarious. So earlier this week, I went down to Kansas City to co-host Q104 with my buddy, Jenny Matthews. And if you're in the area, you are familiar with this radio station, but that isn't even what this is about. Jenny and I got onto this discussion about funny things that kids bring home from school, like funny pieces of artwork. Like, do you remember that time that Jack brought home a picture of a big black snake? And
yes.
And it did not look like a big black snake. So that was one example. I'll put it on our Instagram just so you can see it, because it's seriously hilarious. We had to put it on the fridge. And then I came across this drawing from 2019 of Jack's ice cream cone. Again,
it's got three scoops of ice cream, and the two on the base by the cone are very round. And then the one is centered and it's a little more oval shape. And then there's a cherry on top
that looks like the head of a penis. I mean, let's just say it. It looks like a penis. It's freaking hilarious. Okay. But it, like, what makes it so funny is that this is coming from this pure, innocent little 6-year-old who has no idea that what he's drawing is so phallic. Right. Okay. Jenny went back to her hometown over the weekend, and she was going through some old like artwork with her mom from when Jenny was a kid. When she was 7 years old, she brought home this poem that she wrote from school. Okay. It was specifically from her handwriting class. I'm going to put it on our Instagram so that you all can see it, but I'm going to read it to you right now. Okay.
Go ahead.
It's called, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this. It's called Little Gray Pussy.
Oh Lord. Okay.
I'm dying. Little Gray Pussy. I have a little pussy and her coat is silver gray. She lives in a great wide meadow and she never runs away. She always is a pussy. She'll never be a cat because she's a pussy willow. Now, what do you think of that?
A tree.
It's a tree.
Oh my gosh.
It's a poem about her tree. But oh my God, when I first saw it, I was dying. And now we have to go look at some of these comments that people left, because Jenny put it on her Instagram also. And sometimes the comments are even better than like the original
the content,
post. Yeah, exactly. So This one says, well, your handwriting is beautiful. Amazing literature, yet disappointed to find out that it was a twig you were speaking of. I thought it was a beaver in the meadow. Oh my God, I'm dying. Let's see, what else? At least your cat wasn't pink. Whoa.
Yes, true.
Well, this is currently my favorite thing on the internet. And that's so deep, no pun intended.
That's awesome.
I am just dying. It's so great. I want to know, I guess we'll end the episode with this. Do your kids, have they brought home something just freaking hilarious that was hilarious to you because you saw the adult humor in it, but they were clueless as to why it was so funny? Because that just really brightens my day. So I'm going to put this on our Instagram. You'll have to go check it out. Anyway, I just had to end on that super funny.
That's good stuff.
Pussy Willow note.
That's good. I was going to make another joke, but I'm going to be out on that.
I think you should.
Mama.
Don't censor yourself.
Out.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.